Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink.
Of the bluebird as she sings.
I'm not doing anything with you. I'm not embarrassing. I won't do a thing.
What's it ring?
Everything, please. I swear I won't. Just sit with me. Don't embarrass me in the hotel. I'm here all the time.
My shaven razor's cold and it stings.
Come here. Listen to me. I'm not going to do anything. You'll never see me again after this. Please, I'm not going to do anything. I swear, my children. Please come in. On everything. I'm a famous guy. Please come in now. And 1 minute. And if you want to leave, when the guy comes.
You once thought of me as a one.
Come on. Sit here for a minute. Please, if you hear this now, you'll embarrass me.
I can be.
Never do another thing to you. 5 minutes. Don't ruin your friendship with me for 5 minutes. Please, you're making a big scene. You're fucking with your money.
Have all the grown-ups gone to bed now? Are they all in bed? Are they going to stop bothering us with their yelling and they're screaming about those Democrats? Those Democrats, my gosh! There's that Harvey Weinstein. That Harry Weinstein. What? Harry. Yes, Harry Weinstein. And coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk about what the heck do we tell our daughters who are going to college, in high school, debating whether or not to go to work, how to work, where to work. What do we tell them about jerks at work? I have three daughters, and I'm going to need your advice on what to tell my daughters about jerks at work. Jerks at work. That's quite a show. That's quite a week. Wow. Wow. Well, the great thing about this show is this is the transition from weekend to weekday. This is when we let go of all the really serious, hard, important conversations about who crossed the aisle. Who crossed the aisle? My gosh, let's spend 24 hours, 7 days a week on that. Who crossed the aisle?
Ladies, no one needs you nude. Not tonight. No one's going to be nude here.
And we talk about what we really care about, such as this week I've got the parent-teacher conference. I have to deal with the parent-teacher conference. And what do I tell my daughters about the jerks at work? How do I deal with the jerks at work? I'll tell you what I told them. Plus, you and I are going to share our visions of hell. After midnight, let's talk about our visions of hell. No, I don't mean after midnight. I mean in the last hour. I have to remember it's a national program. Our visions of hell.
I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink.
And one of the greatest visions of hell possible took place in Las Vegas 2 weeks ago.
There was a report that I witnessed on the television earlier where a woman was escorted from the venue 45 minutes prior to the shooting because she was telling people they were all going to die. So my question is, why didn't the venue react? 45 minutes is long enough to get people out of that venue. And that didn't happen.
Alan Stock is an actual talk show host, not like me. Alan Stock is a professional talk show host, and Alan Stock is on KXNT, the most powerful and important radio station in Las Vegas. Alan Stock has suffered with the people of Las Vegas for the past 2 weeks, his friends, his neighbors, his co-workers, living through the horror show that took place 2 weeks ago in Las Vegas, where 59 people died and hundreds were injured. And conspiracy theories abound. We just heard one of those, Alan Stock. We just heard one of those conspiracy theories. Why did it take so long to shut down the venue and get people out?
First of all, thank you very much for having me. It's an honor to be on your show, Walter. Why did it take so long? Because people did believe the woman who was going through saying that, and I don't know who she was, and I still, till today, have no idea what that was all about. They never addressed that, and there are so many, we could spend the next 3 hours talking about the conspiracy theories that have come out about this thing, some of the most absurd and bizarre things you can imagine, and the only thing I know is that what we live through here, with all due respect, 9/11 was horrific for this entire nation, but for us here in Las Vegas, 10/1 was absolutely the worst that we could ever have.
Alan Stock on KXNT. For 2 weeks now, you've taken phone calls from your friends and your neighbors and people who have listened to you for 5, 10, 15 years. What is the theme of the phone calls? What is the mood and feeling that you hear in the phone calls?
People have been angry. There's been a lot of politicizing of this issue from the beginning about gun issues, whether or not we should have gun debates. People afraid that people want to take our guns away, and so that's been a huge issue from both sides of the aisle, especially from my more conservative base. But people are concerned about that. People are concerned as to why the timeline has been shifted, and information about it has shifted back and forth and back and forth, and the sheriff, the FBI, and MGM Grand that owns the Mandalay Bay, they've been at odds of what's been said, and that's been confusing to a lot of people. And I think, I mean to say, I think the first responders were great, the police and everyone else. But again, as people wanted information so quickly, so rapidly, and so they tried to get it out, and I think they did it without even stopping to really say, we're going to check every aspect of the facts. Because we, the public, were demanding answers right now.
Alan Stock, coming up in just seconds, I'm going to talk with a casino insider who's going to reveal to us how the security in a casino really works. Plus, you and I are going to learn something fascinating later in the hour, which is why women are obsessed with shoes and why men don't get it. Plus, I'm going to have a revealing, remarkable interview with an expert on parent-teacher conferences and whether or not I should wear a tie. It's 13 past the hour. I'm talking to Alan Stock, who's on KXNT, the CBS-owned station in Las Vegas. One of the great things about being a talk show host, as opposed to suffering as being a journalist or a newsman, is you and I can we're paid to give our opinion. Thank God, finally somebody is paying us to give our opinion, because nobody wants my opinion in my house with three daughters and a much younger wife. The issue that I'm curious about with you is, you said you've heard a lot of wacky conspiracy theories. You've heard the moving timeline. In such a modern city, with such excellent sheriff's department and excellent police department, how can this timeline, and such a public venue and thousands of witnesses, how can the timeline between when he started shooting and when he stopped and when people were helped and when they were not, how can the timeline keep moving?
Part of those timelines were written or handwritten, as opposed to digital or, you know, a Navy time or whatever. And so when people wrote things in, they were writing in what they thought they remembered. And so when they went back later on to check together and to put their stories together at a later date, they found out, well, maybe we were wrong in this particular minute and we were wrong in that minute. So, I mean, some of those issues became a slight bone of contention. To me, the most important issues become how we're going to prevent this in the future, how we're going to get out to the world that we are the safest resort and hospitality venue that has ever existed, and that's going to take the resorts to be proactive in making changes and what they do, saying that we were the safest city before. There was a glitch, obviously, and we found the problem with that glitch. We have fixed it. And we can now assure you that we're absolutely without a doubt the...
Well, Alan Stock, what was the glitch and what was fixed?
I think the glitch, one of them is that they did not have, you know, when I've been to Israel a few times, and I can tell you that when you go to, first of all, an outdoor concert like that they had there, this will be the last one probably they have without people walking around in uniforms with long guns who are sharp shooters. And people are going to have to get used to that like they do in Tel Aviv and other parts of Europe. Another aspect is, again, if they had 24/7 teams ready to go, I'm talking about what you would call SWAT squads, but I mean people who actually work for the venues themselves, they could be up and in that area where the shooting's coming from in a matter of a few moments. I've been talking to people who are putting seminars on later this month, who've come from Israel and have done these things before, and those are part of the problems that we have. Those aspects of it not being as prepared as we should have been,
Alan Stock, famous talk show host at KXNT live right now in Las Vegas with Sterling on Sunday. Alan, there's no way to prepare for this. Impossible.
The only thing you can do is make sure that if you have a team at 24/7 ready to go, they would be ready to go up and be able to at least address the issue. You're absolutely right, by the way. I mean, listen, things happen all the time on a surprise basis. I mean, can I say that nothing could ever happen again? But you're going to have outdoor concerts. You're going to have people on top of the roofs now with guns if they want to make sure that it's safe. If they don't initiate some of those practices that I'm talking about, the likelihood of this happening again would become much greater. And the problem with that is that if people think that, well, it's not a safe place to go, we're screwed. I'll tell you why, because we are a hospitality city, and we depend upon the cities that come in every weekend. We have literally sometimes hundreds of thousands of people coming to Las Vegas every weekend. It's like a city moving in. We can't afford to have that not happen if we want to continue with everything that we do.
Right. Alan Stock, host on KXNT. Because you're a talk show host and not a newsman, please share with me some of the most bizarre conspiracy theories you've heard so far.
I'll just give you one, because I think there's so many crazy ones. The one that came out was that the security guard, supposedly was unarmed, when he went up to the 32nd floor to the room, that he actually methodically shot himself in the leg and then entered and assassinated the shooter, and then he proceeded to do the shooting himself. I think you
of
have
course.
To be.
Why bad, didn't we bad, think of that? Of course.
I think you have to be some bad, bad, bad drugs to come up with something like that. I really do. I mean, to me, this is absolutely bizarre. If you had been there the night that I was there taking those calls, the night this happened, I mean, you almost get angry at something like this.
Of course. Alan, in your opinion, was that shooter shot and killed, or did he kill himself?
I think he killed himself. I have no reason to doubt the Metro and what they have to say. I think he killed himself. Do I know why? I have no idea. He was on diazepam, as was John Hinckley Jr. when he...
As is your great aunt. I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, some people react well to it, and others become ferocious on it. I have never taken it, so I can't say what it's like. But I know that it has mixed feelings for different people, depending upon what their chemistry is. And I don't pretend to be a chemist or an expert when it comes to Valium, diazepam. But I can tell you that there are people who react violently on it, and others do not.
How long will it take the people of Las Vegas to heal from this, Alan? You're an expert. You've lived there for a long time. You talk to them every day. How long is it going to take the city to heal?
This is my 19th year here, and I can tell you that is people are beginning to heal. Immediately, they went out and built a memorial garden downtown, which was almost instantaneous, and that's become the focal point. Somebody built 58 crosses and put them up at the Welcome to Las Vegas sign, which is now being put in a museum of sorts. people are starting to begin to heal. It's going to take a while. Every day in the local paper you have another highlight of a different person of the 58 who were killed by that guy. And it's going to take a while. People are beginning to heal, but it's going to take a while. Everybody knows someone or knows someone who knows someone who was affected. If they weren't killed, they were shot, and or they were treated in a situation like that. Can I recount to you just one call that I got in the morning?
In just seconds.
We came in.
No, Alan.
Yeah.
I want to hear it, and I want you to have the time to recount it properly. So I want you to do that for me in just seconds.
Sure, absolutely.
This is Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter M. Sterling talking to Alan Stock live in Las Vegas, and this is Westwood One.
During the show, follow on Twitter, Walter M. Sterling.
Could anybody hear that, or was the music drowning that out? AJ, did the music drown that out? AJ, did the music drown that out? Play it again.
Sterling on Sundays. Sundays. That's why it doesn't sound like Thursday afternoon. Sterling on Sunday.
Alan Stock is a host on KXNT in Las Vegas. There's no better way to understand the mood or the condition or the shape of a city than to talk to a professional talk show host who's been on the air for 19 years in the city, and Alan Stock has been on the air for 19 years. Now, you were about to tell us a story, please, Alan. Share that story with us.
Yeah, just two quick things. As soon as we saw this happen on the news, I contacted my program director and my producer. We all were there within about 10 minutes, and from 11 p.m., until 9 in the morning, we had a marathon broadcast of 10 hours. The one thing we found out when we went in, all of the TV stations in the entire building were down. We had no TV to rely on, which was just as well. So we had to rely on police reports, the internet, and I went on the air at 11 and I said, you've got to be our eyes and ears out there. Who's ever listening, you've got to be our eyes and ears. And the calls started coming in. The two calls that haunted me the most, one came in a couple of hours after we were on the air from a gal who said she was crying. She was hysterical. She said she was there and the shooting started, and she saw people dropping all around her, and she and another person picked up two people who were bleeding, and they used some of their own clothing to stop the bleeding. They put these two people into her car along with a few others, or a total of six in the car, and she sped away to the hospital to drop them off as soon as possible. And she, they were listening to me at the time, and I said, you've got to be our eyes and ears, please call me. And she did. She called me and recounted this, and she was crying the whole time. It was so emotional and so real at that moment. I cannot begin to tell you. Within a half hour, 45 minutes or so after that, another call came in from a doctor who was listening, and he said, I've been going back and forth between two hospitals. He said, our ORs are packed. He says, we have a problem. He says, we're running out of blood, especially O negative. We're almost out of that entirely. We need blood so bad, I can't begin to tell you. Please come down and donate blood. Everyone has got to. This is the middle of night. This is like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday going into Monday. And within the hour, I can tell you that people were lined up at blood banks literally around the block. They couldn't take all of them. They had to start giving them numbers eventually to come back the next day and the day after because so many people were lined up that night.
Right. Alan Stock of KXNT demonstrating what radio does best that print can't do, that television should be able to do, but they don't because they're too damn cheap. But radio makes magic. This is what we do. Thank you for the report live from Las Vegas with Alan Stock, star of KXNT. And coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to hear from a security expert deep inside a casino as to what they really know and what they really see. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Westwood One.
Sterling on Sundays. Get closer to Walter than ever before. Brand new podcast ready now. Download from iTunes. Download Old Dad. Old Dad on iTunes.
Right now during the show, I have a secret Twitter feed, and you can read my tweets and my deep, secret inner thoughts that are not allowed by the FCC, not allowed by humorless affiliates. It's Walter M. Sterling is my Twitter. So follow me on Twitter. at Walter M. Sterling. That's S-T-E-R. You'd be shocked at how many people misspell that name. How hard is it to spell that name? S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G, Walter M. Sterling.
Ladies, ladies, no one needs you nude. Not tonight. No one's going to be nude here.
Now, Bill worked at a casino for 3 years. Good evening, Bill. Thanks for being on Sterling on Sunday with Walter Sterling. Hi, Bill.
You're welcome. Good. How you doing?
Bill, you're a real guy. I know for a fact that you worked in a casino. We're not going to say where. We're not even going to say what city. We're just going to call you Bill.
Okay.
Bill revealed to me in an incredibly credible way that there are some issues about casino security in some casinos that may be shocking to us. One of the assumptions I made, and I shared it last week on Sterling on Sunday, and this powerful 50,000-watt radio station, the first half hour of which was messed up by the Bears on many cities. But I said, how is it possible for them in a casino, especially Mandalay Bay, to not know what was going on that floor? I thought that they had cameras in the lamps in my room. Share with us your subjective opinion about casino security in general, Bill.
Well, casino surveillance is mainly to catch employees stealing. It's not to catch the arch criminals that you see on TV and in movies. It's mainly to make sure that employees are not stealing. Most of the cameras and most of the coverage is on the casino floor. I don't even know if there are cameras in the hallways of the hotels. I've just heard on the news recently that there are none at the Mandalay Bay. Okay? And I do know that surveillance is so top secret that no one is allowed to even see into the room. So this is my opinion only, but I kind of gathered it over a couple years. They don't have nearly the equipment that they want everyone to believe they have. All right, and that was borne out one time when we had someone. I worked in the count room. We had a person that was.
Oh, hold on, Bill. That sounds pretty sexy. What is a count room?
Oh, that's where they took all the money from the slot machines, and we processed it through machines and counted it and wrapped it up and put it back in the rolls and sent it back out. Well, every night for a year, we would get thousands of dollars worth of lead slugs that somebody counterfeited. We knew what machine they came from. We knew what time they were put in those machines. And we told surveillance for over a year where this guy was playing these slugs. Now, you would assume they could have zeroed in the camera from the night before, saw who was playing that machine, found him the next night, and went and caught him. But it took them over a year and a half to catch this guy with the counterfeit slugs. Now, that's not what you see with James Caan in the TV show Vegas. They would have zoomed in on his fingers and known who it was. It was just little things like that. And the security guards were not your Delta Force type guys. They were your retirees. If you retired, okay, let's put them in security. It was a bunch of old people making minimum wage. It was not what you see in the movies. That's my main point. You know, it was just a myth.
So you believe a lot of the reason you worked in a casino, we're talking about the shootings in Las Vegas, we're talking about securities at the casinos in Las Vegas. In your opinion, a lot of the reason why they're having trouble establishing a timeline and establishing who knew what when is they didn't have eyes on every floor. They didn't have eyes throughout the casino, and particularly in the case of the Mandalay Bay, which, if you've never been there, let me share with you, my friend, this is the biggest hotel you've ever seen in your life.
Right,
it's
a
huge hotel. To not have that kind of security really is shocking news.
But it also may be that even if they do have it, they don't want anyone to know they have it. You know what I mean? They don't want to give up that information, or they'll give it up very reluctantly.
Well, Bill, you're a great friend. I really appreciate you being on Sterling on Sunday. You're a great listener. Thank you for the emails. My email address is waltermsterling@gmail.com. It was a lot of fun talking to Bill, who used to work in a casino for about 3 years and has a tremendous amount of information. And he says that they don't have that great a security. The security isn't what it's supposed to be. It doesn't look like what it looks like on TV.
Let's go, 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 go.
Let's have some fun. Let's talk to Kim Internardo on Sterling on Sunday. Kim Internardo. Hi, Kim. Trying to get her now. I thought it said she was on. She isn't on? Huh. You mean I'm going to have to ad lib?
Go.
That's a challenge. All right, we're going to talk to Kim Internardo, who wrote a really interesting book. And that's not why we're going to have her on. But it's called Men Are Like Shoes. And one of the most interesting things to me is the incredible disparity between what men think about shoes and women think about shoes, and how this has caused me frustration my entire career. No, really, my entire career has been frustrated by this lack of understanding. Let me share with you a contest that I wanted to run on a giant radio station. You ready? Here's the contest. It was called Shoes Day. And the way Shoes Day worked was that by answering some questions, now tell me, would you be interested in participating in this contest? Here's my phone number. It's 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Here's the contest. The contest was called Shoes Day. And if you answered the questions and you qualified for the contest, you went to go to a trailer. Big trailer, like a house trailer. And inside the trailer were hundreds of boxes of shoes. And they were provided by Saks Fifth Avenue or Neiman Marcus or any one of those stores. But these were quality shoes. And you got to go in and you got to pick one of the boxes and you won the pair of shoes. And then if you answered another question, you could pick another box and either you'd win a pair of shoes or in one of the boxes was a check for $1 million. How cool a contest was that? It's called Shoes Day. Kim Internardo, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi. Yeah, Kim, have you been queued up? Are you ready? Are you listening on the radio or something?
I was listening on the radio.
No, no, don't do that. Just listen to me. You need to be coached to just listen to me. Are you ready?
Okay, well, I'm not on the radio anymore. I was doing it before I turned it off, and then I got answered your call. So I'm not on the radio anymore.
Men don't understand the relationship between women and shoes, do they?
No, they don't.
Tell me, where's that thing I wanted to play for you? Here. No, that's not it. Tell me about the relationship that women have with shoes, and what is it that men don't understand?
Well, I have to tell you, about my shoes personally, I am very passionate about my shoes. I love them very, very much. And that's how the book resonated. I was comparing them to my dates because that's the only way I can relate to men is that if I can relate them to, if I can categorize them as a shoe.
Right. Go ahead.
I'm categorizing men as shoes?
Well,
how the book came about. Every shoe style that I came across, I made into a man's personality.
Are you married?
No, I am not married. I am single.
What was the most successful boyfriend you had? What was the most successful relationship you had with a guy? And what kind of shoe was he?
You know what? Even the book was not a man-bashing book at all. So all of the relationships...
I said most successful. What was the most successful relationship you had with a guy? And what kind of shoe was he?
That's a tough question, because there was a lot of guys that I've dated that were quite successful. They just didn't turn out to be long lasting, but they weren't successful relationships. They were good relationships. I had the hot shoe. Of course, we always liked the guy with the hot shoe. He was the guy that, you know, you love to be around. And I always attracted to guys that are very good looking. And are kind of like the player kind of guy. Those are the guys I really like. And I've done a lot of online dating. I had quite a few guys that were absolutely terrific that I dated online. And I even dated guys that I met at parties. And those were some of my broken shoes that I love to try to fix, but unfortunately didn't turn out the way I wanted it to.
How many shoes do you own?
That's a good question. I probably own about at least a good 75 pairs of shoes.
I spent $40,000 on shoes and I have no place to live? I will literally be the old woman who lived in her shoes.
Men view shoes this way. Men own a pair of shoes to go to work in and a pair of shoes for the weekend. That's what men do with shoes. We view shoes as a utility. Women view shoes in an entirely different way. And what's difficult to communicate to guys is how different the relationship is. When you talk to men about shoes are great, shoes are important, women love shoes, it's a great prize in a contest, it's what women would love to win as a prize, they don't think it's sort of interesting, they think it's stupid. They laugh it off. Men not only don't understand the relationship between women and their shoes, they dismiss it. Have you found that to be true?
Well, I have to tell you, I am a big shoe person, and most men I meet are not. But
no.
I have dated several guys that had just as many shoes as I did, so I can't really say that. I guess it depends on the person, but I am definitely a shoe girl, and if you gave me a shoe, I always say, you know, nothing. The only thing that's better than a shoe is a shoe on sale. You know, you got to love shoes.
What shoe would you covet? What shoe do you covet owning?
My favorite shoe that I have, that I love, is probably my high heels. All of my heels I love.
Is there a brand that you would love to have?
I try to get different kind of brands. I don't want to stick with the same ones. I like doing different kinds of brands because that's what makes it so much more fun.
All right, Kim Intrinardo, you went to a wedding today?
Yes, I did. By the matter of fact, we're just driving home now.
Did you see the bride's shoes?
I absolutely did, and they were gorgeous.
Describe them. Give us shoe porn.
They were white, and they were lacy, and you tied them straight up the leg. They were adorable, and they weren't a thick. They were a thick heel, which is very in style right now.
How much did they cost?
I didn't ask.
No, but you know. Kim, you know.
Anywhere between $200 to $300, I'm sure.
Which brand of shoe do you think most women would kill to have?
Milano Blahniks.
There you go. All right, what's the name of your book?
My name of my book is Shoes Are Like Men.
If you go to the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page, you will see a link to her website and her book. Say the name of your book again.
Shoes Are Like Men.
I actually read this book, Kim Intrinardo. It's a lot of fun. It's a great book, and it's a great way for men to truly understand why it is that women have this thing about shoes, and most men do not. Thanks very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Matt from WMAL, you're on Sterling on Sunday.
How you doing?
Hey.
How you doing? Good to be on.
Thanks for calling. Matt, what's up?
Nothing. I was just calling to, you know, talk about shoes.
Are you going to talk about shoes?
Yeah. I mean, I was a lot like you said when you were talking to that last lady. Got one pair of shoes that I've had for, you know, about a year. Got one pair of dress shoes for going to work and, you know, classy activities. I got a pair of steel-toe boots for the winter, and I got a pair of running shoes for doing tennis and working out and stuff, and that's pretty much it. I've had the same set of shoes for probably the last 7 years of my life.
Yes, exactly. Thanks very much for calling, Matt. Thanks very much for calling 888-688-WALT. There you go. Matt has two pairs of shoes, one for work, one for home. And how long has he owned it? He's owned it for 7 years. He's owned those shoes for 7 years. Coming up tonight, you and I are going to talk about what to tell our daughters about working with a jerk, because that whole Harry Weinstein thing. Bless our weekly salute to Indianapolis. Social media, in my opinion, no one should be fired for social media. And then you and I are going to share our visions of hell. And coming up this week, I've got the parent-teacher conference. Tie or no tie? I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Westwood One.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sunday on Facebook. Walter M. Sterling. Post your Facebook comments at Walter M. Sterling.
I'm going to the shower and sit there and have a drink.
What do you tell your daughter about how to deal with a jerk at work? Coming up, I'm going to share with you exactly what I told my daughters about how to deal with jerks at work. Now, my daughters are 12 and 15, and they're fantasizing about going to work and about having careers. And then they hear these stories. And it's not just this story with Harry Weinstein. It's the story with Roger Ailes.
I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink.
And it's the story, allegedly, with Bill O'Reilly. And it goes on and on and on about these jerks at work. And there are two-part stories to the jerk at work stories. One is that the sexual harassment, which apparently took place. And the other is the verbal abuse and the screaming and do it now and get it done and get it right. They tend to be the same guy. What advice do you have for your daughters? No, let me put it another way. What advice do you have for me to tell my daughters about how to deal with jerks at work when they get into the workplace? Here's my phone number. It's 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. We have a lot going on tonight. We've got a lot to get done on Sterling on Sunday because they only allow me on once a week. You know, it's an old-fashioned show. He's doing an old-fashioned show. No, I'm not doing an old-fashioned show. Let me tell you what an old-fashioned show is. An old-fashioned show is when they An old-fashioned show is when you get a call like this. Hello?
Yes.
Hello, Smosh?
Yes.
Thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
I have something terrible to tell you.
What's that?
We just had a town meeting.
Yes.
And they've decided to allow horses in the town square for amusement.
Yes, that sounds like a lovely, real American idea.
But it turns out that the horses are Democrats.
Oh no, that's impossible.
That's an old-fashioned talk show, buddy. We're going to talk about my vision of hell. It's a very specific vision that I'm going to share with you, and then I'd like to hear your vision of hell. And then this week, I've got the parent-teacher conference. Now, what do I do at the parent-teacher conference? Do I keep my big mouth shut? Do I wear a tie or no tie? It's a challenge to know what to do at the parent-teacher conference. Do I ask questions to seem educated and wise, or do I keep my big mouth shut? And I'm going to share with you the most terrifying document in the history of American transportation. It is a document that teaches organizations that are trying to raise and establish toll roads and how to raise the toll, how to do it, how to coerce a community into accepting a toll. That's right. How to accept a community, how to accept a toll. Plus, I've got a story the likes of which you have never heard. I'm going to have a guy on at half past the next hour. He has the story unlike anything you've ever heard. He's an American-born citizen and an American citizen who the United States government extradited to another country specifically to be executed. He was specifically sent out of our country, driven from his homeland to go to a foreign nation to be killed. Not in war, but as punishment for a crime. We actually agreed to extradite somebody for that. So I want to know what you think. What should I tell my kids about how to deal with a jerk at work? And I have a pretty strong opinion about what they should do about that. And I'm going to share that with you coming up in just seconds. You can follow me on Twitter, Walter M. Sterling, at Walter M. Sterling. This is Westwood One.
Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink.
What?
I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink.
It's unbelievable. Well, here we are. On WPHT in Philadelphia, WLS in Chicago, WMAL in Washington, D.C., KMOX in St. Louis, KDKA in Pittsburgh, run by the brilliant Jim Gracie. And the whole focus this week is on the horror show called Harry Weinstein. What? That's not his name? Harry Weinstein. Here's my phone number. It's 888-688-WALT. I have three daughters. What do I tell my daughters about how to deal with jerks at work? What should I tell my daughters about dealing with jerks at work? Now listen, I have had corporate jobs, independent contractor jobs. I've been a consultant. I've been a big shot. I've been a small shot. Every type of job in media you can imagine. I have screwed up more radio stations and more media companies than anybody you can name. Yes, and I've turned around several as well. But never have I been accused of the things that Harry Weinstein's been accused of, or Bill O'Reilly, or Roger Ailes, or any of those other sterling personalities. This is the only thing I'm innocent of. Therefore, I have very clear points of view about guys who are jerks at work. I'm going to share with you in just seconds what I did tell my daughters, but I want to know what you would tell my daughters about how to deal with sexual harassment at work. Now, the puzzling thing about the Harry Weinstein thing is that he wasn't holding them at knife point in the slums of a scary city. He invited them to his hotel room at the Peninsula Hotel and the Four Seasons Hotel. He invited them to the most luxurious settings possible, and they came alone. Let's repeat this. They came to a middle-aged man's hotel room alone, and somehow or another, in his mind, what he then did was consensual. But what puzzles me, and the thing that's really troublesome in all these stories, is they could have left. Why didn't they leave? One of them said, yes, he did these things to me. He masturbated in front of me five times. What do you mean he masturbated in front of you five times? You know, if he started to, that's when you leave. Five times, that's a boyfriend. So it's a very strange dynamic, and I'd like your advice. And what do I tell my daughters about dealing with jerks at work? My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. And then the other horror show I have to deal with is this is the week of the parent-teacher conferences. And the parent-teacher conferences have taken on a different tone than when you and I were in school. It turns out that parent-teacher conferences now are usually used just for people who are, for kids who are in trouble. My kids' friends looked at me on Saturday and said, why are you going to the parent-teacher conference? Your kid isn't in trouble. Your kid is doing fine. I'm like, what do you mean? That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm the parent. Well, no, you don't have to do that anymore. It's a whole different world, and I'm going to share with you about that. But first, I want to share with you a remarkable guest. Her name is Kathleen McMenamin, and Kathleen McMenamin has written a book. I want to hear a little bit about this book. Don't run away because I said book. It's not NPR. Don't get confused. This is an NPR.
Let's go, 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 go.
No, it's not. But she's written a great book. It's called Organize Your Way. And then we're going to talk about something truly profound. But first, Kathleen McMenamin, tell us about Organize Your Way. Because the big problem with home organizers is what?
Is that they're all crazy, anal retentive freak shows that want to clean up everything and make you do everything the way that you don't know how to do it. That's what's wrong.
No.
Well, the first thing is that I'm not Kathleen. It's the first thing.
Well, whatever you want to call yourself.
Katie McMenamin.
All right, so Katie McMenamin has written a book called Organize Your Way. Now, the thing about Organize Your Way is that it solves a problem, which is what happens when you and I have ever hired a home organizer. What happens a week after the home organizer has left?
It's a mess.
Why is it a mess?
It's because you can't keep it up if it's not the way you're supposed to organize. Everyone is different. Everyone has different ways of organizing. And so you have to find out what your personality type is. You find that out by buying our book, Organize Your Way, on Amazon or Barnes & Noble's or on our website, Pixies Did It. And that's how you get yourself organized for good.
The problem with home organizers is all they do is accumulate guilt. While you thought your stuff was accumulating dust, what home organizers do is accumulate guilt. They come into your home, they set up filing systems, they set up organization systems, but they're organization systems for the home organizer, not for you and me.
Exactly.
And Katie McMenamin has written a book called Organize Your Way, which allows you to find out the right way to organize for your
personality type.
How do I find out what my personality type
is? You go to my website with my sister, pixiesdidit.com, and you take the quiz. It's really easy. It's fun. Who doesn't want to take a quiz, especially late at night once you're done with Facebook?
When did you become Yiddish? What is this accent?
I have no idea what's going on right now. I've been listening to Sarah Silverman. That's probably what's happening. Although, yeah.
All right, well, snap out of it.
Sorry.
All right, now, Katie, here's my advice to our daughters about how to deal with jerks at work. And then I want to hear from you at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. What I told my daughters was this. If some jerk comes at you at work physically, harasses you sexually, decides to masturbate into a potted plant in front of you, you kick him in the balls and you call their wife. You don't go running to HR. You run to HR, you're going to make everything worse for everybody. HR is useless. Let me repeat, HR is useless. What you do is you kick them in the balls and you call their wife. Katie, that's what I told our daughters. Did I mention that Katie is my much younger, very beautiful, never suffering wife? Oh, well, she's my much younger, never suffering, very beautiful wife. That's what I told our daughters to do. How do you feel about that, Katie?
I think that you should go a little bit further. I think that if somebody does something inappropriate in front of you and you're alone, you start yelling. What in the world are you doing? What is going on right now? What are you doing? That's like the best thing you can do. And then what are they going to say?
And then what do you do?
And then you kick them in the balls and run away and you go to the freaking police. I mean, this is ridiculous. Enough with this going to HR, enough with this going to the, you know, if you're like in school and you go to the school board or whatever, you don't go to the school. You go straight to the police or you go to your parents and you call them and you'd be like, this guy was just doing this. What do I do? And we would tell you, you go to the police.
The bravest person in the Harry Weinstein scenario was the Italian actress who visited him in New York City, went to his hotel room. He felt her breast. And she went to the NYPD that night. They wired her up for sound, and that's how we have this great audio.
I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink.
Anthony from KUCT in Knoxville. You're on Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT.
Hello.
What should I tell my daughters about jerks at work?
Well, there's two different ways. You do it how you said it, which I'll do it personally. I'll do it personally do that. Best way to do it is, you know, make documents, make reports, you know, and then, you know, just document it. Make sure that you're, you know, you got your I's dotted, your T's crossed, and then go to authorities.
And the authorities you know, are who? Who are the authorities, Anthony?
Authorities, like the police.
The police.
The police.
You go to the police. Anthony, you're exactly right. Now, Anthony, did Harry Weinstein ever molest you?
No, he did not. He did not. I got five daughters.
You got five daughters. Do you have a gun?
I don't need no guns. My guns are my personal hands.
You got it, Anthony.
That's easy way out. That is too easy.
That's not
painful enough.
You're the best, Anthony. Thanks very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT.
Please, I'm not going to do anything. I swear my children, please come in. I'm everything. I'm a famous guy. Please come in now. And 1 minute, and if you want to leave when the guy comes.
Tracy from KMOX, you're on Sterling on Sunday with Walter Sterling and Katie McMenamin, author of Organize Your Way. We're the parents of a 5-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 14-year-old. What should we tell our daughters about jerks at work? Tracy, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Tracy, I'm so much better. I'm so much better now that you're here, but please follow these instructions.
I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink.
Yes, Tracy.
I would actually, and this is from experience, I had a jerk from work who didn't get the message, but he told him, no, I'm not interested, and he would follow me wherever I went. So one night, for my parents, I had him following me, and I parked my car on the side of the road, and I got out of the car and told him if he came any closer, I was going to hit him with a baseball bat. And he didn't listen, and I had to hit him with a baseball bat. That ended that pretty good.
That's what I do. I would say smack their hand. Smack them. Get them out of the way. You have to fight back.
Tracy, what happened to the guy? What happened to the guy, Tracy?
Well, he lost his job.
Yes.
Because we had an incident at this. I worked in radio, like I said, and we had an incident at the radio station, and he got transferred out.
What do you mean he got? Don't say the name of the company. But what? What do you mean he got transferred out? He just didn't get fired?
He got fired. Well, let's put it like that. Yeah, he got fired, then he found another radio job.
Right.
Pretty quickly. But, he was fired from the particular corporation that I worked for. And, when you're young and you get put in that situation, you think that you've done something to deserve it. You did not do anything to deserve it. Nobody treats you that way. You stand your ground and you don't put up with that stuff. And if you have to go to the authorities, you go to the authorities. You tell everybody that you know that this is going on. And you take it and you go for it. You know, but it's not your fault. You don't deserve to be treated like that. Your girls do not deserve that kind of treatment.
Please, you're making a big scene.
Tracy, has Harry Weinstein ever molested you?
No, I wouldn't let him.
Hey, thanks very much. No, I mean, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Stop with it, kid. But it's kind of like a, mass that keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Why did they go into his hotel rooms?
Well,
why would you go
alone
into a middle-aged man's, to Harry Weinstein's hotel room by yourself? What did you think he wanted to do with you up there?
Well,
hang out and talk?
Yeah, I can honestly say that in my career, I have never once invited a man or woman for a job interview alone into my hotel room. There may have been occasions where there were security reasons that we didn't want people to know we were interviewing that person, but I would have never had that person alone, man or woman, alone in my hotel room. I would have had other people with me. I did have other people with me just to avoid the discomfort, just to avoid the possibility. That's called, I think it's called being a professional.
Every one of you watching this screen, look out. Because soon, very soon, the most horrifying monster menace ever conceived will be oozing into this theater.
888-688-WALT. I want to know what advice you would give me and my wife, Katie, on what to tell our daughters about jerks at work. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Advice for young women on how to deal with jerks at work. My advice is kick them in the balls, call their wives, go to the cops, don't waste your time at HR. 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday, and coming up, we have the most astonishing story of a man who was extradited from the United States of America as a U.S. citizen to be executed in another country. It's an amazing story. Wait till you hear this on Westwood One.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sundays. Stick Walter in your ear all week. Download the podcast. Get it from iTunes. Download Old Dad. Old Dad from iTunes.
All right. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. One of the greatest horrors is about to take place in my family this week.
Michael's only slightly behind the other children, and I'm sure he'll be fine to move on to kindergarten. But there's a question. Oh, well, not with me, but the kindergarten teacher, Rita, will come down and make her own evaluation.
So Michael might have to stay in preschool for one more year.
It happens sometimes, and it's better if it happens in preschool because there's no shame in repeating at this age.
Sure, right. But this kindergarten lady, Rita, she'll make the call?
Yes.
All right, this is Parent-Teacher Conference Week, and tonight it's a terrible mistake, but I'm here with my wife, Katie McMenamin, who wrote a book called Organize Your Way. For God's sakes, order the book, Organize Your Way. Katie McMenamin. It's a great book about how to organize your life and your home for your personality type. Okay, put that aside. Katie and I have to go to parent-teacher conferences tomorrow in the preschool, in the middle school, and in the high school. Should I wear a tie or not?
It doesn't really matter.
Why don't you think it matters? I think it matters a lot.
Because it's ridiculous. We've been doing this for like 15 years now.
Yeah, but they don't know us for 15 years.
Who doesn't know us?
The teachers we're seeing
everyone
tomorrow.
Knows. It doesn't matter. All we need to know is get information about their things. That's all. It doesn't matter. You don't need to wear a tie. You need to wear clothes that don't have junk on it.
Do I ask questions or be quiet?
Please be quiet.
Why should I be quiet?
Because then it takes forever if you talk. This is what you're talking is for. The show is for you talking.
What I've come to learn is that unlike the old days where parents went to parent-teacher conferences because it was important for them to show up, now teachers only expect to hear from parents whose kids are having problems. That's the impression I get. Is that the impression you get?
That is not the impression I get. The point is to go to parent conferences is so that the teachers know who you are, so they know that you care about their kid, and then they treat you as if they treat your kid with more respect. They know who your kid is, and they make sure to tell you when something's going wrong.
See, that's my impression, too. I believe that I need to show up for the kids so that the teachers will respect my kids more.
That's why I go to a curriculum night as well, so they meet me more than once.
And they get to know us, and they get to know us as real-deal parents. What shocked me is even though I made the appointment for the high school, for the teacher conferences for the high schools late in the cycle, all those teachers had many, many open appointments. So it appears that even in a big public high school, many parents don't go. Is that surprising to you?
No, because in seventh grade, I was sitting with all these teachers, and they said, you know, she's a good kid. She's not hanging out with the bad kids. You don't have to worry about her. That's basically what they said.
Is there anything in particular you're worried about with our kids that I need to know about?
Yeah, she's in 10th grade, and we've got to deal with college next. And she decided where she wanted to go, and her counselor was like, you've got to do this, 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 and this, 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 and there's no way in hell you're going to go.
Yeah, she wants to go to New York University, not exactly Harvard.
It is Harvard. No, you have no understanding. You have to get above a 4 point to get into that school now. And when I taught there, they were idiots when I taught there 20 years ago.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened.
I think that's all a myth. All right, that's Katie McMenamin. She wrote a book called Organize Your Way. She's my much younger, very beautiful, long, never-suffering wife. And coming up, you and I are going to hear an amazing story of survival. We're going to hear about an American citizen, a guy who was born here, who was extradited by our government to go to a strange Asian country to be executed. It's a remarkable story. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Follow me on Twitter. You can see my secret thoughts during the show at Walter M. Sterling at Twitter. This is Sterling on Sundays, and this is Westwood One.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sundays. Stories you'll hear on tomorrow's morning show.
I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink.
At Harry Weinstein, when did he have time to make movies? When exactly did he have time to make movies if he was spent most of his time masturbating in front of strangers? And again, I have to emphasize, what he did was beyond inexcusable. However, we're pretty darn sure that was not unique, was it? It's called the casting couch. You know, an artist actually had put up a casting couch in Hollywood, and it said how Hollywood dreams are made, and there was a permanent installation in a public place in Hollywood of a casting couch. This week, that was removed. It had been there for years. How dreams are made in Hollywood, and there was a permanent installation of a sofa. That this week, somehow that lost its sense of humor. Do you know that Harry Weinstein is also a New York City designated living landmark? There are people in New York City who are so rich and powerful and famous that just like buildings, they're designated as living landmarks. And Harry Weinstein is one of them. But what I told my daughters is if any guy approaches you at work like that, you kick him in the balls, you call their wife, do not waste your time in HR. Everything gets worse in HR. You go to the cops. It's assault. It's a physical assault. But the weird thing to me is all of these women for 20, 30 years with Harry and many other Hollywood executives, many, many other Hollywood executives, they went to the Four Seasons hotel rooms and the Peninsula hotel rooms alone in the middle of the day to meet with a fat middle-aged guy. I mean, really?
I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink.
All right, 888-688-WALT. James Mueller. James Mueller, welcome to Sterling on Sunday with Walter Sterling. Hi.
Hello, Walter. It's James. Nice to hear you. Glad to be on your show.
James, what country are you in?
I'm currently in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, Southeast Asia.
Why are you in Cambodia?
Well, I'm here on a financial task. I'm raising money for some American firms between Hong Kong and Southeast Asia. Cambodia just happens to be the stop for this week.
All right, James Mueller has the most unusual story I have ever heard. Were you born in America?
I was. I'm American true blue.
You are an American citizen.
Absolutely.
And at some point in your life, the government of the United States of America decided to extradite you out of the United States of America to go to a foreign country to have what happened to you?
Well, the ultimate consequence was that I would be shot by a firing squad. Obviously, that didn't happen, and I was able to win the cases that I was charged with over here. But I had an unusual circumstance in the U.S. in that they would even consider extraditing someone to the U.S., and I fought this in court, of course, and I fought it vigorously, but it didn't matter. The United States government has made agreements with multiple countries around the world that if they were to write a warrant for the arrest of an American citizen, guilt or innocence would have no issue, just whether or not the warrant was legitimate. And since there was a legitimate warrant for my arrest, I was forced to acquiesce and be chained up, put in the back of a plane, and flown 12,000 miles to face trial in a country that has no legitimate legal system as we know it.
Well, James Mueller, hold on. Stop a second. Now, we have to get a little background here. Where were you raised? Where did you grow up?
Chicago, Illinois.
So you're from WLS, from Chicagoland, home of the Gap.
That's correct.
All right. Now, James, what were you accused of doing that was so horrendous that your government would extradite you from the country to go to another country to be killed? What were you accused of doing?
I was accused of assassinating business partners on the street of Bangkok, Thailand. And there were several witnesses who supposedly had seen my involvement. And that was enough.
These witnesses, were they police officers? Were they official types? Were they your partner? Who were these witnesses who were turning you in?
The witnesses were actually car parking attendants, and they had seen the activity. But, of course, and it looked like me. If you showed them a picture of a white American, it looked exactly like me.
All right, now, James Mueller, you were in a foreign country. Exactly.
Yes.
After this person on the street was murdered.
Yes.
And people were pointing fingers at you. What were the steps? Were you arrested in that country, or did you go home and then you got a knock on the door?
No, well, neither of those. I was actually in Costa Rica on my honeymoon at the time of the crime. So returning back to the United States from my honeymoon, I got off a plane in Atlanta, Georgia, where I was met by a SWAT team and an arrest warrant and held there for a few days before I was able to get into the system of injustice and finally end up in Thailand to face trial.
Did you have the worst lawyers in the world?
Actually, the opposite is true. Throughout the procedure, I had three different law firms, some of the most renowned attorneys on the planet. Mike Bowers was the actual Attorney General of Georgia. So he was quite good at the prosecution, hence the defense side. Mr. Gillen was the U.S. attorney who had prosecuted Ollie North. These were heavyweight guys. But the fact is, there was no crime in the U.S. to defend against. There was simply a diplomatic agreement between two countries. And George W. Bush was quite quite happy to follow it. And Colin Powell actually had to sign the order for me to be sent there. There was no arguing with these guys. They were too powerful, and they had an agenda. Unfortunately for me, their agenda was to receive some gentlemen that were in the prison in Thailand. They flew one of them to Gitmo, one of them to Atlanta, and left me in Thailand to fend for myself. Good thing was, though, I was pretty good at it. I did win those cases, and I did walk out.
I'm speechless because this is the most incredible story I've ever presented on the radio. James Mueller, an American citizen from Chicago, WLS, from Chicago, was on his honeymoon. While he was on his honeymoon in a completely different country, somebody was murdered. Witnesses look at ID photos and decide that James Mueller, who was in a different country, not a different street, not a different city, in a different country, was the guy who murdered. Who was it who was murdered?
A gentleman by the name of Ian Travis. And he was actually shot by you.
Was he an associate of yours? Did you know him?
He was. He was a good friend. We did a lot of business together. And the two men who shot him eventually confessed. They were his car parking attendants. They blamed it on me to get the heat off them.
But you were on your honeymoon.
This life in prison.
This is unbelievable.
Walter, it's insane. I sat in front of a judge, Alan Baverman, in the federal court in Atlanta, Georgia, with irrefutable proof that it was impossible for me to be involved. The Attorney General for the U.S. stated to the judge that just the fact that I was so far away from the crime and had such an ironclad alibi was an indication that I must be involved. The judge's final ruling, it didn't matter if I was innocent or guilty. That was for the court in Thailand. The matter was simple. Do they have a legitimate warrant for his arrest as the treaty requires? And they met that low bar. That's the end of it.
In order for somebody to be... Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Since then, the U.S. government has rewritten that statute. So there is a higher bar before you send an American. So that's the only good thing that came out of this.
From the time that you were arrested and you were finally acquitted, how long did this vision of hell continue?
Well, the first acquittal took 18 months.
Were you in jail the whole time?
I was.
And where was the jail? Which jail?
Well, I was in Klong Prem Prison in Bangkok, Thailand, but they call it the Bangkok Hilton.
Did anybody there speak English, or did they speak to you in Vietnamese or Cambodian?
Mostly Thai. Thai is the language there. But I obviously didn't speak to too many people. But it gets worse. I won that case. And the treaty that the judge in Atlanta was so happy to enforce required the receiving government, in this case Thailand, to return me immediately if I were to win the case. I didn't get out of there for 9 more years. So what they did was they broke the treaty and recharged me and appealed and kept me in court for 9 more years. I eventually won 4 of the 5 trials I went through. I lost one, but the king of Thailand gave me an amnesty on that one and let me go in 2013. So it was a long, long time.
You were in jail for 10 years. For a crime was committed in a different country. You were on your honeymoon in a different country when this crime was committed. Parking lot attendants identified a bad security photo and said it was you. And you were in jail for 9 years, and you were extradited to a country where you could have been executed. Have I got this right now?
Absolutely. That's exactly correct.
What recourse have you had? What recourse have you had?
Zero. It's against the law. Well, first off, I can't sue the Kingdom of Thailand. I have no rights there at all. And the prosecutors who were so dubious and so devious in wanting to make this happen, to create new law the first time it's ever been done, gave such terribly blatant false evidence to the court to even show that there was a warrant for my arrest. But the thing is, what the prosecutor's able to say to the court when I want redress is this: hey, we were going by the words of the policemen and the prosecutors on the other side, of which the U.S. government created this treaty. So they have no responsibility for their actions whatsoever. Nor do they have any regrets.
Well, so this is the vision of hell. Any American Absolutely. Citizen can be extradited to a different country and killed. if the warrant is served correctly, is drawn
exactly
and
correct.
Served correctly, there's no U.S. lawyer who can do much, if anything, for you. Is that right?
Well, the option they gave me, because I did have options other than going, nobody has ever won an extradition hearing in the history of extradition hearings, period. It's never
really?
Been done in the U.S.
Really?
Because they're not legal issues. They're treaty issues.
Wow.
The only one who can override an extradition is the Secretary of State. In this case, it was Colin Powell, and he wasn't up to overriding it. So the other option is you can fight four different levels in the United States, and it will take 10 to 12 years. My difficulty was there's no bail allowed on an extradition hearing because obviously you're going to run away, right? Nobody's staying for that. So there's no bail allowed. And I looked at surviving 10 or 12 years in the U.S. federal holding tank, knowing I wasn't guilty of a crime on the other side of the world, I thought I had a better opportunity to get over there and prove myself innocent. So I was able to do that.
But all right, this is John Mueller. What's the name of your book, John Mueller? This is the only U.S. citizen who, and right now he's in Cambodia. He's talking with us live on Sterling on Sunday from Cambodia, John Mueller, M-U-L-L-E-R. He wrote an amazing book about, three amazing books about his experience, and his experience was this. U.S.-born citizen from Chicago, extradited to a foreign country to be killed for a crime he absolutely not only did not commit, he could not have committed because he was in a different country at the time. What's the name of your book, John Mueller?
Okay, I Cannot Fail. I Cannot Fail by James Mueller. And you can pick it up on Amazon. You can pick it up at jamesmuellerauthor.com. But what I recommend you do is pick it up. This book is full of lessons. It's full of excitement. It will change your life. And it will give you another worldview.
James Mueller. Say the name of the book one more time.
I Cannot Fail.
I Cannot Fail. He was sent to a foreign country by his government, the U.S. government, a native of Chicago, to be executed for a murder crime that he not only did not commit, he couldn't have committed because he was in a different country. James Mueller, thank you for speaking with us from Cambodia. An astonishing story. I have the link about your website and the book on the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page, the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page. Thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Coming up in just seconds, I'm going to share with you my vision of hell. And then I want to know your vision of hell. Plus, the most shocking document I have ever seen, a document that explains to organizations, commissions, that establish and raise tolls on toll roads, how to deal with community objections. Whoa! I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday, and this is Westwood One.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sundays. Every email is answered. Send yours to waltermsterling@gmail.com.
Every one of you watching this screen, look out. Because soon, very soon, the most horrifying monster menace ever conceived will be oozing into this theater.
I'm going to take a shower, you sit there and have a drink. Roseanne, please, I swear I won't. Just sit with me, don't embarrass me in the hotel. I'm here all the time. Please, I'm not going to do anything. I swear, my children, please come in. On everything, I'm a famous guy. Please come in now, and 1 minute, and if you want to leave, when the guy comes...
I don't understand a lot of this. This Harry Weinstein problem, because what he did was inexcusable, horrible, just like Bill Cosby, just like the allegations against Bill O'Reilly, just like the allegations against Roger Ailes, just like the allegations against all of these clowns. But what I don't understand, like with the Bill Cosby women, they all said that he gave me a blue pill, and then the red pill, and then I went to the Matrix. Wait. The second thing your mother teaches you, besides don't bite so hard, is you don't take pills from anybody. Nobody can give you a pill. If you offered me an aspirin today, if you said, oh, no, I have some Tylenol for that headache, I would not take it from you. I'd be afraid you got it mixed up. I'd be afraid you screwed up the bottles. To this day, I would not take a pill from anybody under any conditions. Nope. And I would not go, if I was a young woman, a middle-aged woman, an older woman, alone, to a job interview in a hotel room. In fact, more often than not, a professional woman will say, oh, great, you want to meet for lunch? Somebody they've never met before, a man they've never met before. They'll say, all right, I'm going to come by. By the way, I'll be with my friend. She'll be with us for a few minutes. She's going on to a different meeting. They stage it so that they're not alone. That's just common sense. And I'm sorry that the male species is so many pigs, has so many pigs that this is necessary. But what I told my daughters was, if you're in the workplace and somebody acts inappropriately towards you and it's assault, what you do is you kick them in the nuts, you call their wife, and then you call the cops. And the fact is, a woman who got a meeting with Harry Weinstein is not an insignificant talent or a nitwit. To have risen up the food chain as an actress, to get to a certain level where Harry would meet with you, is an enormous achievement right there. But you don't go into a man's hotel room alone. You go with a friend. You go with 10 friends, but you don't go alone. And you don't take pills from Bill Cosby. I mean, like, really? Really? 888-688-WALT. That's my phone number. I'm live. All those cute little FM stations, they're all pre-recorded. All those disc jockeys went to Ruby Tuesdays. And coming up, I want to share with you my vision of hell. Plus, our weekly salute to the great city of Indianapolis. There's no other network show that salutes the great city of Indianapolis every single week. But that's what we're going to do coming up. And next week, in the first hour of our show, we're going to have an expert on state lotteries who will reveal how to win lotteries, for example, in the state of Pennsylvania. And more information on where the national treasure is hidden in the city of Philadelphia. That's in the first hour of next week's show. But coming up, I'm going to share with you my vision of hell, and then I want to hear your vision of hell at 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter Sterling on Westwood One.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink. I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink.
Harry Weinstein's greatest hits.
Everything, please. I swear I won't. Just sit with me. Don't embarrass me in the hotel.
Let's go, 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 go.
Come here. Listen to me. I'm not going to do anything. You'll never see me again after this.
Stop with it, kid. But it's kind of like a... It's kind of like a mass that keeps getting bigger and bigger.
I will never do another thing to you 5 minutes. Don't ruin your friendship with me for 5 minutes.
All right, it's time for our weekly salute to Indianapolis. No other national radio show salutes Indianapolis. That's our job.
Back home again in Indiana.
Congratulations to the city of Indianapolis for having the top-rated airport in the country, according to the Association of North American Airports. The North American Airport Association has voted that the Indianapolis airport is the best airport in North America. You know what's number two? It's that one in Toronto. I don't see any New York City airports on this list, no Los Angeles, no California airports on this list, but the Indianapolis airport is the best airport in America. Why is that? One, a wide variety of foods, not just Chili and Company, not Red Lobster. Ruby Tuesdays. That's my favorite. Oh, God. Do you ever eat at Ruby Tuesdays? Am I the worst person in the world to say this? But everything at Ruby Tuesdays is deep fried, and it all tastes exactly the same. And that may work at 2 in the morning if you're stoned out of your mind, but I don't know of any Ruby Tuesdays that's open at 2 in the morning when you're stoned out of your mind. Not that I would know.
Let's
go, 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 go.
Let me share with you my vision of hell. And then I want to hear your vision of hell. First, let me share my work nightmare. My work nightmare. Everybody has a work nightmare. This is my work nightmare. Are you ready? My work nightmare is that I'm on the air, and it's time to go to the bathroom. It's during a break. Excuse me. And it's time to go to the bathroom. I get out of my chair. I leave the studio. I go down the hall to the men's room. I come out of the men's room. And now we've got a minute left on the commercial break. And it's a talk show. Well, what does that mean? It means that I have to talk. It isn't like the board engineer can run a song. I have to talk. If I'm not there, it'll be noticed. I come out of the men's room, and I start to walk down the hall to the studio, and I can't remember where the studio is. I am lost, and I've got a minute to go. That's nightmare number one. That's since I've been a talk show host. When I was a disc jockey playing records. Yes, that's right. I actually played records. I played records. I played vinyl when I was a disc jockey. Now it's a whole new trend. You go to Barnes & Noble and buy vinyl. We have pieces of vinyl. But I played vinyl and threw them on the floor. The record is coming out. This is the disc jockey nightmare. Every industry, I believe everybody in every industry has a nightmare. Maybe once or twice a year you have it, no matter what you do for a living. You're an 18-wheeler like Keith Mortensen. Hello, Robert Gaw. Hello, Frankie Reds. Hello, my dear friend Rosemary Furlong. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. It's great to be with you. What a beautiful night, huh? This is a great night. And this is the only time of day to listen to the radio and be on the radio. And I feel so sorry for those morning men, because rather than celebrate and enjoy their job, what do they all say? Oh, I hate getting up at 4:30 in the morning. Shut up! You hate getting up at 4:30 in the morning to earn more money than anybody else at the radio station? To sit there for 3 or maybe 4 hours, have 18-minute commercial loads, you barely do anything. You get 9 minutes on the air and you're whining about getting up at 4:30 in the morning? Or worse, the people on the Today Show? Oh, well, you know, I won't miss getting up at 3 in the morning. Yeah, you're going to miss the $20 million a year to sit there and go, this is Today on NBC. Really? This is hard lifting? Oh, shut up! But I digress. I believe every business has a nightmare. If you're an 18-wheeler like Keith Mortensen and his buddy, if you're a teacher, maybe you can't remember the lesson plan, maybe you can't remember any kids' names, a doctor, a lawyer, a nurse, every profession, I believe when you go to sleep maybe once or twice a year, you have a nightmare. I want to know what your nightmare is. Here's my phone number, 888-688-WALT, because we're misfits. We don't fit in. You and I are up now, and we're happy about it. Everybody else is going, oh, I got to get to sleep. I got to get to work in the morning. Too bad. You got to hand out those forms. The people who get to work at 9 in the morning, they hand out forms. They try to give us forms. Nobody who's working right now on the third shift at Jeff Memorial was going to university hospitals, security guard, FedEx truck driver, bus driver, working the third shift, loading the trucks. None of us hand out forms. We're given forms all day by these idiots. Here's my vision of hell. Let me know your vision of hell. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Here's my vision of hell. I'm hired at a radio station. It's in the woods. I look and I finally see the tower at night. Nothing else around. Trees. Small rural roads, and I can't say rural. And there's the tower. And I'm like, okay, there's got to be a road. And I see a dirt road off the main road. And I take that dirt road about a half mile down to a house. They're all these ugly little houses, these wood-framed houses. And old Charlie, who was on the air before me, he's leaving. Now it's midnight, and I'm doing all nights, midnight to 6 a.m. And I go in the building, and I'm alone. And I say to old Charlie, where's the coffee? And old Charlie goes, coffee machine doesn't work. It hasn't worked in years. Talk to the boss. And he leaves. I don't know why he sounds like an Irish bartender as a disc jockey, but he does. Hey, talk to the boss. I can't help you. I got to go. Now I'm alone in the building. I'm alone in the building. And it's 12:05. It's midnight. And I go to put on my next song. And it's a country station. I'm on a country station. There's the first vision of hell. I'm on a country station. And there's the telephones, and there's the network news, and there are the commercials. And I go to play the first commercial. And the automation machine that plays it doesn't work. Doesn't work. And then I say, well, let's take some requests and dedications. The phones don't light up, and it turns out the phones don't work. And I go to start the next song on the next turntable, and that turntable doesn't work. And the channel on the other turntable is burned out, so now I realize I have no commercials, no songs, no phones, and it's 6 hours to go. With one turntable to play country music for 6 hours. No commercials, no network news, no phones. 6 hours of country music nonstop. That's my vision of hell.
It's time to remind you that in the Arclitex in the Central Time Zone, the time is now 8 o'clock. The Louisiana Hayride!
I'd like to know your vision of hell and your at-work nightmare. 888-688-WALT. It's just you and me. All the grown-ups have gone to bed. We're finally alone in the 18-wheeler, in the lobby of the building where you and I are security guard, going to work as a doctor on the third shift, a nurse on the third shift. It's just us. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. And now I have a very new and exciting feature. The feature is great talk show hosts who are out of work who should have a job.
Or eliminate anyone who has a young voice. And I guess, it sounds ridiculous, I guess I'm going to have to do that.
Ed Till is one of the greatest talk show hosts I have ever known. Ed Till became famous on WTKS-FM in Orlando, Real Radio in Orlando. And then you went to L.A., right, Ed? Right, Ed? Hey, Ed. Hello? Where's Ed? Hey, Ed? Boy, you guys are on top of it tonight. Ed, I don't hear you. Are you there? Ed Till? Where's Ed Till? I even got to him on time. Would one of you grab the phone? And he's gone. Oh, my gosh. All right. Tight as a drum, production values unbeatable, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Mary, listening on WLS, what is your work nightmare?
Hi, Walt. I love your show.
Mary, I love you.
anyway, I'm a nurse. Well, I'm a nurse assistant, and I had a dream that I... You know, they always say they can drug test us whenever they want. So, and I'm not a pot smoker anyway, but I had a dream that I was out with people and I smoked some pot. And then the next day at work, I was drug tested. And my dream was just so horrible. I kept saying, I woke up still thinking it was real. And I woke up saying, why did I smoke that pot? It was terrible.
Did you have it more than once, Mary?
No, just one time, but it was a horrible dream. Because I don't want to lose my job over drugs, and I'm not a pot smoker anyway.
No, but it's interesting. We all have work nightmares, and my work nightmare is that I leave the studio to go to the men's room, and I can't find my way back. And actually, once when I was guest starring on WABC in New York, that actually happened to me. I couldn't find my way back. 888-688-WALT. Hey, Mary, I got a question for you.
Yes?
Yes. Were you ever harassed by Harvey Weinstein?
No, I wasn't. But I did have a little opinion. I just didn't want to share it because you had a man with such a disturbing story about getting arrested. So I said, I'm not going to bother with this Harvey stuff. This poor man, that was so serious. But anyway, I like what you said. Kick him in, can I say this online?
Yes.
Kick
him in the balls.
Before you said that, the other day I was talking to a girlfriend and I said, if a man does that, smack him. And just smack him and say, cut it out, you know. And anyway, kick him in the balls was great. I also thought if someone's older than you inviting you to their hotel room, these young girls need to think about this and don't do it. Because what's in there? Usually just a bed. I mean, they have to have some sense.
What universe? Forget a job interview. You wouldn't go meet a man in a hotel room who you'd never met before alone. You'd bring along a boyfriend, a father, a friend of yours, a large friend of yours, until you saw that it was safe, right? And so that person would know you're protected.
No one with half a brain. I'm sorry, I don't want to insult anybody, but when you're a woman, you have to know these things. You don't go into a hotel room. And where are their agents? If a man, someone was going to audition me, I'd say, tell my agent, you have to come with me. He's having me in a hotel room. You know, I'd do something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Is there something? Do you have a question for Harry's available. Do you have a question for Harry Weinstein right now? Do you have a question for him, Mary? What question do you have?
No, I don't even want to. I wouldn't even want to talk to the dirty dog. Sorry.
Okay, thanks very much for calling, Mary. Thanks very much for calling. Sterling on Sunday, I want to know your work nightmare. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT.
Take a shower, you sit there and have a drink.
This is Westwood One.
Sterling on Sundays. See Walter's secret filthy thoughts on Twitter during the show. Follow on Twitter, Walter M. Sterling.
All right, Ed Till is one of the most gifted talk show hosts in America. I first knew Ed when he worked on Real Radio 104.1, a radio station I invented. Do you hear that, iHeart? I invented Real Radio, and I named it, and I staffed it, and it was my sensibility. Got it, buddies? Real Radio 104.1. And then you went to L.A. Where'd you go in L.A.?
KABC first, and then KLSX, the FM talker out there.
And we must know why this show isn't on KABC yet. Does Drew Hayes not have a sense of humor? It's a great mystery to me as to why this show isn't on KABC. I think it'd be a plus.
Drew Hayes and I are old buddies, and he says he's a fan, and I feel that way toward him. I will tell you how KABC came about, and
no,
maybe this
no,
is
you
the
won't.
Way things
No, 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 you won't. What you're going to do is share with us the story that you think is most intriguing, because you are a talk show host who's out of work and should have a great job, and this will be a new feature of the show because there are way too many hosts who are out of work and should have a great job. To demonstrate, I'd like you to share with us a story that you would like to share with my listener, and then your opinion.
The story I can't stop thinking about over the past couple of weeks is why anybody would bring a little boy to a baseball game and seat him anywhere in harm's way. I didn't see, as many of us did not, the impact. I looked into the eyes of the poor batter who had been trying to rip a down the field, and I thought to myself, we've lost it. We are not thinking, and we're also in the most litigious environment, so the ballpark did it. The netting people should have thought of it. This guy, and what I see is, when I went to the New York Yankees as a little boy, I was safe. I was looked after. I was never in threat of getting my head ripped off. And I say to myself, we got to get a grip, not on ISIS and Iran. We got to get a grip on our kids, the way we're living our lives, and make the baseball afternoon joyful, not a near-death experience.
And why should you be hired, Ed Till? That's a great story, so, and a great opinion. Why should you be hired?
The reason I went into this business was because I always felt an intuition for what was happening around me. There's a moment in the movie Serpico where he tells his girlfriend why he wants to be a cop because the cops knew what was going on. I was even ahead of that. I grew up in a neighborhood, in a community, where I could start to feel what other people were feeling. And nothing, nothing felt better to them than that kind of recognition. So I love being here, recognizing listeners for four decades. Because there's so much to recognize and share. And the news is so full of self-serving noise. It's not about us. I love being about us.
That's a good line. It's not about us. That's the biggest problem I have with the news day to day. It's like, where is my news? I know there's another shooting in South Philly. I'm aware of trouble in South Chicago, but that's not my news. Thank you very much, Ed. Ed Till, I'm going to put Ed Till's contact information on the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page. Walter M. Sterling Facebook page, you'll find information on how to get in touch with Ed Till, a great talk show host who should not be out of work. Coming up, let's you and I talk about our vision of hell and our work nightmare at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter Sterling on Westwood One. Judith J.G. is a listener who has enjoyed this show for over 3 years. That's right, 3 years. And every week she sends me a comment. She has never liked one show or one thing that I do. But therefore, I'm grateful that she's here. Brian Fletcher, welcome. Lee Herman, Jerome Strader, welcome. You are Midnight Misfits. Midnight being a figurative term. There is nobody right now who is normal. You and I are not normal. Normal people do not listen to the radio at this time. And certainly normal hosts are not up at this time. This is a very special time. It's a time when we get to share a very special experience that only radio provides. And the experience is this. I'm alone in a small room, surrounded by you, and you're in the cab of your 18-wheeler, the UPS delivery truck, the FedEx delivery truck, the city bus. You're in the lobby of an office building, keeping it safe, on your way to the third shift at the hospital as an RN, a doctor. You're special. The people who work at this time are able to work at this time because we handle things. We don't need 10 supervisors telling us what to do. We get it done. We're the most trustworthy workforce in the world because you're working alone in an office building. You're the only person at the nurse's station. You're driving that city bus. These are trustworthy, important jobs. These are important jobs. We don't go to the office parties. We don't go to the meetings. We don't go to the meetings. By the time you and I get to the meeting, all that's left is the oatmeal raisin cookie. And, we forgot to tell you about the meeting. Oh, we forgot to tell you about the birthday party. We are different. We do not fit in. The first time I knew I didn't fit in was in high school when I couldn't climb the rope. There were all these jock guys, usually named Jock, who could climb the rope. They could get to the top of the rope. And everyone went, yay! I saw the rope and ran. In phys ed, I saw the rope and ran. The most important gift I give my children is an excuse note from phys ed. You don't want to go to phys ed? That's fine. I believe that more kids have been kept out of the gym. More kids are fat today because of phys ed, not because they didn't go, but because they're terrified of it. They're terrified of it. And as I've told you before, I don't believe there should be a phys ed requirement. But I also shared with you my vision of hell. And my vision of hell is doing all nights at a country radio station, 6 hours, alone in a building with no coffee. And I have been at radio stations with no coffee. Hell, I was at the CBS Broadcast Center substituting for Jim Bohannon, and there was no coffee. The CBS Broadcast Center on 57th Street in New York City. I get choked up just thinking about it. Craig Kitchen, did you make a call for me about the coffee? My manager, did you call about the coffee? There was no coffee. subbing for Jim Bohannon. And by the way, I'm going to guest star for Jim Bohannon this Thursday. This Thursday. So, for example, on KDKA, which runs the Jim Bohannon show, those poor listeners at 10 o'clock at night on KDKA are going to hear Walter Sterling. How can that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. I am the host that Jim Bohannon does not worry about. Let me share with you some of the notes. Let me find this. Hold on a second. I gotta share with you some of the reviews that I've gotten on the Jim Bohannon show on Westwood One. And I want to thank Dennis Green and Stuart Greenblatt and A.J. Essington and Matt DeSantis. Hey, Matt, you got to get your mother on. Matt DeSantis's mother likes the Walter M. Sterling podcast. Now, I'm very ambivalent about podcasts because I think being on a number of 50,000-watt radio stations such as WPHT in Philadelphia and WMAL in Washington, I think that's quite enough. I really don't think I should have to do any more. I think that's enough. But instead, if you go to iTunes, Apple iTunes, and you search Old Dad, you'll hear my new weekly fresh podcast. Here's a review on Facebook. On Facebook, you can go to the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page and review this show. Here's a note from George Petruncio. George Petruncio. Inappropriate questions on public radio. Believe he is sexually frustrated. All he wanted to discuss on WIP was sex. This man needs professional help or a new girlfriend. That's what George Petruncio had to say about my work on a show. When did he listen? That was back in April. Inappropriate questions on public radio. Believe he is sexually frustrated. All he wanted to discuss on WIP was sex. This man needs professional help or a new girlfriend. That's one of the reviews. You can review my show on Facebook. Now, the interesting thing about George's review of my show on WIP is that I've never been on WIP. WIP is a very powerful, big radio station. Certainly not going to do that. And then Diane Strandberg types, he sucks, so boring. Don't call him to fill in. He puts you to sleep. But really, at this hour, isn't it a service to be put to sleep? I think that's one of the things that we should do. And then there's my dear friend D. Wells. D. Wells, who gave us 5 stars. And Demetrius, what a great name. Kokoros Metso Batalis. He loves the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Charles F. King, love the show. Keep up the good work. Hopefully they will put you on an hour earlier. Well, I'm on an hour earlier, just not on WPHT. But I am on an hour earlier on WLS and WMAL and many other great radio stations. And then Dawn Rabeau writes, your show really stinks, but it's par for WLS, such as ramming the moronic White Sox baseball games down our throats for weeks when what we really wanted was good talk radio like Mark Levin and Doc Savage. Yes, yes, yes. Those Democrats, they've ruined everything. The Democrats have ruined everything. Bring back Stephanie Trussell. Yes, I'm glad you brought that up on WLS. Stephanie Trussell is on. She got a much better show. She's on Saturday afternoons. You can hear the great, legendary Stephanie Trussell, who's fantastic, and she's on Saturday afternoons on WLS. So I'm glad we have this time to clear these things up. All right, what else do we have here? Dig Your Show, thanks, from David Marchesano. It's interesting that I get 5 stars and 1 stars, nothing in the middle. People give me 5 stars and 1 stars, nothing in the middle. It's fascinating. I have shared with you my vision of hell. I'd like to know your vision of hell and your nightmare, your work nightmare. I believe once or twice a year, everybody startles, wakes up from a nightmare that's totally focused about their work. And I'd love to hear that. This is therapy. This is the time you and I get to share it. Nobody's around to laugh at you. You're anonymous. Here's my phone number, 888-688-WALT. 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 And, it's therapy. It's a way to share what you think they want to hear this during the day. No, they could care less during the day. They just want you to hear you say the Democrats are awful. The Democrats, they're responsible for vegan food and for the condensation in the pyramids. 888-688-WALT. I want to hear what your at-work nightmare is, that you wake up once or twice a year startled, scared, because of this particular nightmare, and it's work-related. All right, so what should we do now? Let's see. Should we do Psychedelic Tuesday, or Two for Tuesday, or New Music Thursday, or Motown Friday?
89 WLS.
Right on.
I'm Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday, and this is Westwood One.
Sterling on Sundays. Mr. Advertiser, your endorsement goes here.
All right, Mr. Sneakers, thank you very much for listening and being a member of the Midnight Misfits and D. Wells, the beautiful D. Wells. Thank you so much. Rosemary Furlong and her mom, it's great to be with you. And Neil Paul, you know, I don't thank Neil enough. Neil sends me the best stuff. He just sent me on Facebook, Friends Don't Let Friends Drink Starbucks, and it's in the Dunkin' Donuts logo. And let me tell you, guys, it's Dunkin' Donuts for me. It's my favorite coffee. I love Dunkin' Donuts. Tragically, Adam Gilbert has yet to come up with a big schedule from Dunkin' Donuts for my show, but you should. Where, by the way, attention sales department. No, let me talk to you. You run a business. You're associated with a business. Right now, it's just you and me in the car. There's no distractions. It's a great time to be on the radio. Anytime I mention a product, such as my wife's book, Organize Your Way by Katie McMenamin, anytime I mention a product, immediately they see a spike, or as they call it online, they see Lyft. They see Lyft. This is the best place to advertise a product. Have I made a pitch just now? Yes, I have. Yes, I have. But why would I have to do that? Isn't there a professional sales department standing by? Hey, Billy from WPHT in Philadelphia, you're on 866. No.
Hello,
you're on 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Hi, Billy.
Hello, good evening. You were talking about hell. What is your hell? Well, lately, my new hell is the circle of life in which my parents are getting older, and I recall them talking about their parents, which was my grandparents, and taking the keys away, and you can't do this and can't do that. And they fought with my grandparents, but now it's come to the point to where I'm fighting with them and taking the keys away and can't do this. And it's a hard, you know, seesaw of you still want to give them the respect that you're their child, but at the same time want to, you know, protect them at the same time, but they don't want to hear it. So it's the back and forth of emotions. Wouldn't you agree?
That is a vision of hell, is to be turned into your parents turning into the child. That is a vision of hell. What has been the worst aspect of having to take care of your parents? What has been the worst aspect for you?
The denial of themselves of where they are. They still think that I'm in the 12th grade or what. Like, they don't realize that they are now their parents and I'm who I, as a child, heard them complaining about their parents, as my grandpa, like I'm saying, and as politely and respectful as I can say, I said, you raised me to be, you know, loving and caring. I'm just trying to love and care for you the best I can, and you're just being as stubborn as they were.
Right. And guess what'll happen when you get old?
I'll be stubborn and say, no, you can't take my keys away, and it'll be the same Groundhog Day again, I guess.
Now, were you harassed by Harry Weinstein?
Yeah, well, he tried to give me a foot massage, but I let him go a little bit, but once he got to the knee, I told him to stop.
I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink.
Did he sound like that? Is that what he said to you, Billy?
Yes, and he said, you're not getting that actor part. I said, well, then I'm out of here.
Roseanne, please, I swear I won't. Just sit with me. Don't embarrass me in the hotel. I'm here all the time.
Thanks, Billy. Thanks for calling 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. We're sharing our visions of hell. Why do I have a lazy L tonight? It's W-A-L-T, 888-688-WALT. My vision of hell is being on all nights on a country radio station, country music with one turntable working, no commercials on the log. The network is down, the phone system is down, and it's one turntable. 6 hours, country music. That's my vision of hell. My nightmare is going to the bathroom during a commercial break while hosting a live talk show. And by the way, this is live at 56 past the hour. You and I are live. We're together. It isn't tracked while the disc jockey goes to Ruby Tuesdays. It isn't the best of. There's no such thing as a best of talk show. Let me help you with this. Attention programmers, no such thing as a best of talk show. That's called stale fish. I go to the bathroom during a commercial break and I cannot find my way back to the studio. That's my radio nightmare. Everybody in every profession has a nightmare. What's yours? 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. During the week, you and I can stay in touch, and we should stay in touch, and here's how we do it. You can become a member of my Midnight Misfit membership club.